Once Upon a Time in America. Little children were taught that they would grow up and take arms against authority to achieve their freedom. This is archival audio from films made back between 1967 and 1975. It's a class for kids led by members of the Black Panther Party in Oakland, California. The voices of a political confrontation that we might call today part of the civil rights movement, but which they openly called an armed struggle for black power.
If any racist dog, policemen, or pigs come up and attack us at any point or whatever point, we will defend ourselves, we will shoot them, we will kill them because we are bent on surviving.
And you have arms to do this?
Oh, definitely. And we're trying to get as many arms as we can, and we're teaching the people themselves in the community to arm themselves.
That's Bobby Seale speaking back in the 1960s, part of a new documentary film called The Black Power Mixtape, 1967-1975, based on an 8-year archive of footage. Seale and other Black Panther members were quite open speaking with filmmakers from Sweden in this documentary about their confrontation with white America. This Swedish archive tells an important chapter of American history.
So it's not fun having all these people in jail, but these are freedom fighters. They're the vanguards, and they're here to liberate the people, and they know this. They either have to go to jail or die. And if you're not prepared for that, then you don't belong in the Black Panther Party.
That woman from the Black Panthers in Oakland, California is unnamed, but most of the voices in this film are well known. Here's Angela Davis responding to what she considered to be a naive question.
You ask me, you know, whether I approve of violence. I mean, that just doesn't make any sense at all. I just find it incredible. What it means is that the person who's asking that question has absolutely no idea what black people have gone through, what black people have experienced in this country since the time the first black person was kidnapped from the shores of Africa.
The film presents voices that were part of the racial struggle in America, but more feared and dismissed by American media. These Swedish journalists let the cameras roll, though, and they capture a language of confrontation that sounds frank and raw and true somehow in our era of no comments and soft political speech. Even makes the Tea Party sound tame. Here's Black Panther Huey Newton.
It is true that many of our leaders have been confined in the concentration camps here in America. I know that the Black Panther Party will prevail. It's the vanguard of the people's struggle, and that while leaders are put into prison, new leaders are born, new leaders are made.
This language and outlook is the other component of the racial justice struggle in America, different from the nonviolence approach associated with Martin Luther King. And there was an open contest to see if nonviolence would win out or if armed struggle would be the way African Americans would gain freedom. We know how things turned out, but historians today say both were essential. Here's the voice of Black Power leader Stokely Carmichael, sounding gentle and impatient.
I think Dr. King is a great man, full of compassion. He is full of mercy, and he's very patient. Unfortunately, I am from a younger generation. I am not as patient as Dr. King, nor am I as merciful as Dr. King.
I believe that a time has come, a point has been reached, where a line just has to be drawn. There is a point where caution ends and cowardice begins.
In the world, in the 1940s and 50s, it's the end of colonialism. In 1960, Africa becomes independent. The 1960s, United States, they have the Brown decision. It's a world in which racial domination is being repudiated.
That's Kathleen Cleaver, wife of the voice you just heard, Eldridge Cleaver. Kathleen was the first female member of the Black Panther leadership, and she spoke with us this week about the film and how it brings to life a movement that was global back in the 60s, even though it was pushed to the fringe in the telling of mainstream American history.
That's what's going on in the whole world. Now, in places like Alabama or Oakland, California, it's being staunchly resisted by very racist state legislatures and police. And this is the context in which this takes place. Young black children in a free program run by Black Panthers being taught to sing songs about the struggle of the Black Panthers in a situation of racial oppression and injustice.
And about using guns.
Well, what does racial and oppression and injustice boil down to, which is what we call police brutality? And what we were about, the Black Panther Party for Self-Defense. So we were taking a proactive view of self-defense.
The film was directed by Swedish filmmaker Göran Hugo Olsson.
I think when the filmmakers came here in the 60s and 70s, they had no problem with these people being socialists or leftists. That was the common thing in Sweden at the time as well. And I also think that Sweden had a connection to the movement before this movement, the civil rights movement, when Dr. King got the Nobel Prize in 64.
The Swedish archive restores a language that feels lost in the political discourse of today, and I posed a question to Kathleen Cleaver to try to discover how she thinks the ideas of the Black Power movement would be treated today.
If the language of then, and again, it's exciting to listen to in this film, I mean, I got the impression that Barack Obama would be maybe one of the first people to arrest some of these folks as opposed to tolerate what was a very, very diverse political discourse.
Barack Obama is a president, and the arrests are carried out usually by police or military. So Barack Obama is actually an inheritor of this era in its early stages, and he talked in the speech that I heard about being impressed by the people who sat in the lunch counters who are nonviolent demonstrators. It's an era of uprising, of challenging all over. It's in Africa. It's in the United States. It's in the Arab world. There was an uprising all over the world at that time. And so the language reflects that kind of energy of excitement and drama and the new thing and the new future that is going to happen with this independence.
This movement has legacies within all aspects of the American and global society. I think the Black Power movement is a blueprint to a lot of other movements, but also to some kind of self-respect that responds even to a middle-class white person living in Sweden, you know.
When a black man strikes back, he's an extremist. He's supposed to sit passively and have no feelings, be nonviolent. But if he stands up and in any way tries to defend himself, then he's an extremist.
Voice of Malcolm X speaking back in the early 1960s, one of the Black Power leaders you can hear in this new film, Black Power Mixtape. I asked Kathleen Cleaver who of all the characters in this film she thought would be a leader in 2011.
I'm sorry, but I think the person most appropriate to today would be Malcolm X, because he had a spiritual core, he was a Muslim, but he also had a sense of political and social justice that was distinct from his religion, and he could speak to anyone, and he was brilliant, and he was not a representative of the ruling class. That's the one, and that's the one who's been dead since 1965.
Don't give me the runaround. I want bad news.
Most of the folks in this film were arrested, imprisoned, or had to live in exile, as Kathleen Cleaver did for a while. Today she is a senior research associate at the Yale Law School. We'll leave you with the voice of filmmaker Göran Hugo Olsson, who quoted Melvin Van Peebles about a time of American radicalism long ago, but not so far away.
Melvin Van Peebles said, you can't say you didn't know, you can say you didn't care to see, but it was there all the time.
The film out today, the Black Power Mixtape 1967-1975, that soundtrack is by Questlove of The Roots, composed especially for this film.
We've got more at thetakeaway.org. Head over to our website. You can see a breakdown of our listeners and how they reacted to President Obama's speech last night. That's at thetakeaway.org. And then call us with your review. I'm Celeste Headlee.
And I'm John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.